Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. And here it is once more again. We come together to explore the Word of God. I am Diane Adams, your host, and you're listening to Inspirational Wednesday, broadcasted from Words of Wisdom. I would like to always say I thank you guys for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and explore the Word of God together and for us to fellowship one with another. This is a good time to be with the Lord, and I thank God for meeting us here on Wednesday night. I first need to say thank God for his mercy and his grace. I thank him for his son. I thank him for his spirit. And I thank each and every one of you that call in Wednesday after Wednesday. You know, that shows commitment, and God is pleased with that. So I want to tell you, just keep holding on to God's hand, and he will not disappoint you. So for tonight, the name of the lesson is going to be Christians Are Not Exempt from Trials or Temptation. I'm going to say that again. Christians are not exempt from trials or temptations. And for those who have your Bible, it's going to come from the book of James. It's going to be the first chapter, and it's going to be verses 2 through 8. The book of James, the first chapter, verses 2 through 8. And again, the name of the lesson is Christians Are Not Exempt from Trials or Tribulations. At this time, I'm going to play some music, and once I come back, we're going to go ahead and get started with the lesson. The record that I decided to play is Marvin Sapp, and the name of it is The Best in Me. You know, I chose that record because, you know, sometime in our lives we do some things right. Sometime we miss the mark. But we are all going through a process of becoming what God has for us. But this record, he saw the best in me. You know, the word tells us that once you are saved and accept Christ as your Savior, when God sees you, he only sees his son. And this record is saying, you know, no matter how people perceive you or how the world look at you, you know, God sees the best in you. And you could hold on to that. And this is Marvin Sapp with The Best in Me.
I said he saw the best in me. When everyone else around could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one. Hey!
He saw the best in me.
Whenever the world around me,
does
anybody have the testimony? When God walks you off,
then you would never make it. What did he see? He saw the best in me.
When everyone else around me, does anybody know that tonight? Oh, tonight. Can I ask y'all one question? The question is simply this. What did he see?
He saw the same.
I can't get no help of it here. Because there's some folk in here that people have wrote you off. Said you would never amount to anything. Said that you would never end up being anywhere. But Marvin, tell him one more time. What did he see?
He saw the man.
When mama said you would never be nothing. When aunties and uncles said that you would never amount to anything. When daddy didn't come home anymore. He didn't look at you and say that you weren't going to make it. God looked at you. And what did he see? What did he see?
Yes, and that was the best in me. So we're going to go ahead and start with the lesson. For those who, I see some people just came in. We are coming out of the book of James, the first chapter, verses 2 through 8. And the title of this lesson is, Christians are not exempt from trials and tribulations. You know, as always, we're going to take a little look at James, and then we're going to go into the lesson. You know, James was the half-brother of Jesus. See, James and Jesus had the same mother, Mary, but James' biological father was Joseph. But Jesus' biological father was the Almighty God. James, along with his brothers, didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah till after his resurrection. It is usually that way. You know, sometimes the ones that are the closest you find it hard to recognize your greatness, your gifts, or your talent. The book of James is a letter, and it could be considered the how-to book on Christian living. So if you want to figure out how Christians should live, visit the book of James. The pages of the letters are full with confrontation, challenges, and a call to obedience and good deeds that prove your faith. You see, James believed that faith without works is dead. And James said, a tree is known by its fruits. So what James is saying is, if you say you are what you are, then there should be some evidence. James is noted for several writings, and one of the most was the one I said earlier, Faith Without Works. And James wasn't, faith without works is dead, but James was not merely speaking of faith and works, but he's trying to tell you faith that works. We have to learn how to work our faith. You know, people say, I have faith and I believe, and sometimes the actions that you have may not appear that you have faith in situations and circumstances, but you got to learn to work your faith. You got to take the faith from being a noun and make faith into a verb that has action. Faith should be worked, and it should be evidence. You know, it was 30 years after Jesus' resurrection that James wrote the book of James in the Bible. And, you know, at that time, the salutation of his letter in the book of James in the Bible, he called himself a servant of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. At that time, he gave Jesus, his brother, all honor that was due him. You know, there's a scripture say, before it's over, every knee shall bow and every tongue should confess who God really is in Jesus. And that will happen. And when that scripture says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, it's not saying that everybody, when they bow, going to accept Christ. But if they accept him or not, they're going to bow because it's in the word of God. So now we're fixing to go into scriptures. We're in the first chapter in the second verse of James, and it reads, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You see, James make the statement that when you fall, He didn't say if you fall. So if you, you know, questioning why, since you decide to follow Christ, that you have in these trials and temptations that's coming in your life, because they will, and the Word of God tells us, and even though we Christians, that Scripture does not say if you fall, but when you fall. You see, this life will have divers, and that word divers means many temptations. And temptation is a form of testing. So when we look at this, we could say we will have many temptations and we'll have many trials. Whether from the world, don't get me started on this world we live in. It could come from the world and Satan, or from God, unto which godly Christians fall. So what we saying, some of your temptation is going to be created by the world, some going to be created by Satan, and some of them that God create. Remember, God is in total control. And even with the world doing this thing and Satan doing this thing, God is in control, and nothing can happen unless he allows or orchestrates. So because you're a part of him, you should feel good and have the victory. And as James said, count it all joy when you fall in it, because God is in control. Your negative experience are to be accepted with joy, not for the trial itself, but because of the positive work God can accomplish through the testing. You see, sometimes we are tested. God never tempts, but he do test. God designs and allows everything that happened in your life. So we should just learn to trust him. And when we trust God, we are really saying that God knows best. You see, the joy that James is speaking of can only be accomplished if you have the blessed assurance that you are a child of God. So if you're going to have that joy he's talking about, and even though you're a Christian and you accepted Christ, do you understand that you're his child? Do you understand the blessed assurance of who you are? I think a lot of us are beaten up day after day because we do not really fully understand who we are. We don't fully understand what God has done, what God is able to do, and what God promised to do. That's the way we can enter into rest. We got to remember these battles are not ours, but they belong to God. Our job is to obey and submit. Once you know who you are and understand that there's a difference between happy and joy, you will understand that joy, come on now, watch this, y'all. Joy stands in the midst of a storm. And happy is blown away by the winds of the storm. You know, everybody sometimes say, you know, it's real good to be happy. But James is letting us know joy is so many times more, is no comparisons. You know, joy stands in the midst of the storm. But happy is blown by the winds of the storm. You know, I always like to say happy can only happen when something happens. Somebody come to your house tonight and give you $1,000, you're going to be happy. See, that's how happy works. It's an emotion. They come in and give you $1,000, you're happy. And you go to sleep that night and you got your $1,000 and you went to bed happy and you think things is going good. And somebody break in your house and steal the $1,000 and steal some more of your other stuff. You're not happy anymore. See, that's what it says, that happy is blown away by the wind of the storm. But you see, joy is when they say, James is saying, count it all joy. No matter what state you're in, no matter what is going on in your life, if you have the blessed assurance that you're God's child, you believe he's going to work it out, you know the battle is not yours, it's his, you know that all things going to work together for your good because God said it in his word, you can still have joy in the midst of the storm. You see, that's the difference between joy and happy. You know, joy is the thing that gives you in the midnight hour when everything is falling apart and you can't sleep, but you're staying firm and you say, Lord, I know all this going on around me, but I'm going to trust you. And you start feeling a little bit all right. You see, that's joy. You see, even in our temptations, trials, and testing, the scriptures tell us that if we love the Lord, he will work it out. You see, temptation is enticement or is an invitation to sin. You should know that Satan is the greatest tempter, but God is the greatest deliverer. You know, in 1 Corinthians, for those who have your Bible or writing, 1 Corinthians says, there has been no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. What is that part saying? That's saying nothing can happen to you that didn't happen to somebody else. And just like they made it, you can make it too. But you got to believe it. You got to trust it. You see, God's saying that no temptation can be taken, can take you that haven't been already happened to man. But you see, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. That's in the word of God, if you believe it. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make you a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God is saying trials, tribulation, testing, all that's going to come your way. But he won't let more temptation come to you that you just can't handle. And even though it seems that some things are so overwhelming that we have in our lives, and I didn't say you, but I say we have in our lives, we think we just can't overcome whatever it is. And everybody, I believe, have some. But you see, he said he will not let it be more than you could bear, that temptation. And you see, the other part is we just got to hold on because we don't really know how much we can bear. But God, our creator and maker, does know. So no matter how it feels and no matter how long it is, and you might feel and be feeling weary, you got to remember God knows. And we're not afforded the privilege. And then it's not our will, but it's his. You would think that the many trials that you have experienced in life will produce spiritual maturity. Okay, what I'm saying here. You know, the trials and tribulations in your house, your life, and then when you got over the situation, you should be stronger. You should be more mature. If it's things you shouldn't have did and God brought you through, you shouldn't do that no more. You see, what I just said was that you would think that the many trials that you have experienced in life would produce spiritual maturity. You see, that's God's goal, and he allows things to come in our life because he wants us to be matured. You know, when you first become a Christian, he say you drink milk because you're not ready to digest the meat. But at some point, we should be able to eat meat, and yet we are not spiritual mature. And you would think that it would be with the trials and tribulations. You see, sometimes trials and temptation can make you bitter instead of making you better. I've seen that. I don't know about you. I've seen that in people's lives. They say sometimes instead of making you better, it makes you bitter. We have known and believed the word of God, then have faith. Because we could then truly count it as all joy. You know, some of the things that make us bitter with a trial and tribulation that we take, and everything ain't a trial and tribulation. We take things on and make them trials and tribulation and say it's testing our lives. You know, it could be the death of a child. And they say, how could a loving God do this? But everybody's born to die. You need to thank God for the time he gave you. and he's working it out for the good. And you know, we can't set our sights on this world because our life is only a vapor. And God got eternity waiting for us that is forever. So even if your loved one died and they died in Christ, they're going to rise. Count it all joy. You know, whatever time God gave you with anybody, believe me, it was enough time. Yes, you might have wanted more, but it wasn't in a plan. And what you got is what God gave, and you thank him for that. Don't let your trials and tribulations make you bitter instead of better. With God on your side, whatever state that you're in right now, stand and see the salvation of the Lord, which is joy, because he will truly bring you through. And we go into the third and the fourth verse at this time, and it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You see, the scripture says knowing this, which means accepting it as a fact. You know, some things you know, but do you accept it as a fact? Because we have to watch our perceptions, because they really sometimes mess with our reality. And we walking around with a perception and took it as reality, and it has no more truth in it than a man in the moon. That your faith will work patient. Okay, you see, how can faith work patient? First of all, if you believe with your faith and you believe that God is going to work it out, it produces patience because you could be settled. You can now take time and wait on God. Faith creates patience. You know, if your faith is strong enough, and no matter what you're going through, and no matter how many times you get knocked down, you say, I know God is able. I know God is able. And that's what developed and produced the patience that you need to wait on him. You see here that in order to have patience, we must work our faith. How you work your faith? God, I believe you. God, I'm going to wait on you. God, if you said it, I believe it. God, you said that this weapon, this battle is not mine. You said that no weapon going to form against me. You know, that's working your faith, which going to create peace, patience, because as he said in the other verse, that you're going to have the joy. So as James said, faith without works is dead. Faith is believed. Faith is dead. You got to, and this is the other part. You have to remember faith, the definition of faith is belief in someone or some things. Some people have a lot of faith, but where are they placing their faith? Some people put their trust in their jobs wholeheartedly. They gave preference, more preference to their job than to God. Some have money, and their money become their faith. And not that their money become their faith, but they think they got enough money that they could have less faith. That with their money, they're going to make it all work together for their good. No, the Bible says God works it all together for the good. You can't have enough money. Because, you see, you could have money and still be sick. You could have money, you know, and not happy. You know, some people have education, and they think that, you know, they know it all. They really sometimes believe they know more than God. And then the other one is some people put their faith in other people. And the Bible teaches us that man will let us down every time, not sometime. You know, sometime a young lady could be in a relationship with a man, and she put all her faith in that man. And when the late relationship, you know, began to crumble, those people are devastated because they put all of their faith in that person. But you have to know our faith is faith. Our faith, base is Jesus Christ. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence not seen. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we believe that the things that we can't see in the present will come to pass, and we will have the victory. So what I'm saying, you know, even though this is going on in my life right now, and I can't see the end, because the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things yet not seen. So even though I can't see it, I have faith. And with me working my faith, I become patient. And even in the midst of my trial and tribulation, because I'm working my faith, I become patient, and now I have joy. You see, faith allows us to trust that he really will work it out for our good. Remember this, if you can see it, you don't need faith. That's why sometimes people cause and other people become the object of their faith. But if you could see it, you don't need faith. Faith is God trusting. Faith in God is trusting that God is able to see you through, not in just some matters, but in every situation that may come your way. Do you totally trust him? True faith should transform our conduct as well as our thoughts. True faith transforms our conduct as well as our thoughts. So we say we got true faith. Our conduct don't change and our thoughts get crazier than before. You know, we live in this world, and in this world, everything goes. The Bible teaches us that we have to be in this world, but we shouldn't be of this world. You know, I was thinking about that the other night, and, you know, like my lesson the other night, please be patient with me, because I know God is not through with me yet. I can never stand and say that I'm perfect and I got it all together and I done reached the plateau. No, never. God is still working on me. But I could see a lot of things in the world that I was able to shun away in my life and different things I won't participate in. And I sat down and I said, well, okay, God, I'm not where I want to be. And I'm maybe not where I need to be, but I'm sure not where I used to be. And if you holding on and you trusting your faith and you being patient, you know, you could see that some of the things you used to do, you don't do no more. You see, because when you got faith, I don't have to tell you I got faith. You should see some evidence in the lives of the believers to let you know that they have faith. You don't have to blow no horn and toot no thing. You see, because faith, if it's worked, it produces evidence. You know, this world don't love nobody. And I just want to tell you this, that the scripture says before it get better, it's going to get worse. And anybody that's listening that haven't chose a God, I suggest you choose God and his son Jesus and accept him as his Savior and become a Christian and let God fix it for you. Because the world, Satan is pumping up the volume. You see, Satan ain't like us. See, we take breaks. We take time outs. We compromise our spirit. That's why I say, you know, faith should conform, but we, you know, should conform us, but we should transform us. But we're allowing it to conform us. You see, we're supposed to be transformed, but we, as Christians, are constantly being conformed to the world's standards, rules, regulations. We have to watch what we're doing, people, if we say that we're his. We should act like it. And yes, we will have trials and tribulations, and we will make mistakes, and we will fall short of the glory of God. But just like that record I played earlier, he said that he will see the best in you. And remember, once you accept Christ, God no longer see your sin. He only see his son. But we ought to, within ourselves, want to be better. We should want to grow in the things of God. After saying that we now take, you know, we need to now take a good look at what patient is and what patient does. You see, patient is accepting and waiting for a change to come. Patience allow you the ability, a willingness to surpass restlessness when confronted with delay. You know, you might have some money coming to you. You know it's coming to you, but it was supposed to come yesterday, and it's not here. What they say, patience give us the ability or willingness to surpass restlessness when confronted with a delay. You know, sometimes you ask God for something, and the answer is not always yes, and the answer is not always no. But if the answer may be not right now, but you see, you gotta have your joy, and you got to know that God is gonna deliver it. You see, patience is quiet, calm. It keeps you steady, allows you to have perseverance. It makes you be even tempered, and it gives diligence. We can't know the depth of our character until we know how we will react under pressure. I don't know if y'all agree with me with that, but I'm going to say it again. We can't know the depths of our character until we know how we will react under pressure. God just wants to make all of us mature, complete, perfect, and entire, meaning make you whole. But even with patience being all of that, I want you to know that it will not keep you from pain. You could have pain and be patient, but it will allow you to be stable. You see, James told us earlier that we will fall, not if you fall, but patience is the virtue of the fruit of the Spirit. And if the Holy Ghost is living inside of you, he brought that there. So your job is to cooperate with the Holy Ghost, and he will produce the fruit that he brought to work within you. When you let patience accomplish her work, you will not want for nothing, but wait with joy. Patience working in you and with you in trials allow you to know that you will have the victory, which brings spiritual growth and maturity. Do you know some Christians been on the battlefield 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40, 50 years, and they ain't no more different than you know them when they were, because there's no spiritual growth and there's no maturity. The Bible have a verse for that. They say they will be ever learning, but they'll never come into the knowledge of the truth. And they allow their perceptions to be their reality. You know, God promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. We have to ask him to solve our problems or just give you the strength to endure them. After you ask God that, just be patient. He will stay close to you when you are tempted, and he will help you to grow. Believe it. And now I'm on the 5th, 6th, and 7th, and 8th verse. They say, if a man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that given to all men liberally, and unbridled not, and it shall be given. But let him ask in faith. What he said? First of all, the scripture said it. Wisdom only comes from God. Don't ever get it twisted. You can't get it from the school. You can't get it from the college. You can't get a degree. If you want wisdom, the scripture says, ask God. They say, but let him, you got to ask in faith for the wisdom, not wavering. For he that waver is like a wave of the sea driven with the winds and tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. Let not that man, the one who have wavering all of the time. You're with God and then you're not. You're with him. You think all things to please God is necessary and then you think some things ain't necessary. You know, you think I need to do this, but if I don't do it, it's all right. And don't ever mistake God, because God is a jealous God. And God do his thing when he get ready. Always remember Noah with the ark. That whole world was destroyed because God got tired. Don't you think God is just going to sit here and let you do what you want when you want for how long you want because you want. Don't think that God, you know, don't see or don't care. But he said that you just ain't going to receive nothing. He said that man will not receive anything. And the 8th verse say, because a double-minded man is unstable in his ways. When we look at the word wisdom, the Bible say that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The more you fear him, the more wisdom you get. Hallelujah. And he don't mean fear as if trembling in your boots or that God is going to destroy you or God is going to do things to you that's just not reasonable. Fear means reverence, the reverence of God, the respect for God, the wanting to be the obedient to God, the one who want to submit to God. That's the fear. The Bible say, the word wisdom, the Bible says that fear of God and fear and reverence and honor and glory of God is the beginning of wisdom. Because see, then now you done took time to know who your maker is, and God's going to give you the wisdom to finally know who you are. Because you cannot know who you are until you know who your maker is. So fearing God and reverencing things that I said earlier, that is what allows us to get wisdom. You see, wisdom is the ability to discern or judge what is true, right, or lasting. Wisdom gives us insight and discernment. People go around and they meet up with somebody and they can't tell if they're good or not. You're letting people in your life that don't mean you're no good. Because why? You can't discern. You don't have a clue. You don't even know what to look at for. And if you did, you're not taking the time. But wisdom gives you the power to be able to discern. And it gives you insight. Wisdom is common sense sometimes and good judgment. Wisdom gives us a wise outlook. It gives us a plan of action. And it guides us into the way and the things of God. I know that we all know some educated fools. They went to school and they got the education, but they can't not get themselves out of brown paper bag. And we all have said that to about somebody we knew that's highly educated, but they can't even figure out, you know, too many things. They might have education, but they don't have any common sense. They went to school, they did the work, but don't have the use of common sense to figure out some things and the simplest things of life. And an intelligent person may have a profound idea and get nowhere with it, but a wise person put that profound idea into action. A knowledgeable person may make a lot of money, but don't know how to manage it, and he loses everything that he gained. But a wise, talking about that wisdom that God has, person can make a little, yet manage well and gain a lot. And even after they gain a lot, they keep it all. You know, it's never how much you make it, how much you make, but it's what you do with it. Wisdom can show you how to take a little and make much. We know the common sense is not as common as we would think to some people. There are no schools of wisdom, no wisdom degree offered or course to achieve a PhD in wisdom. Wisdom comes only from God, and he gives it liberally and freely to all that's asked. I don't know you guys, everybody who's listening, and I know some of the people because I'm familiar with your phone number that's coming to the studio, but have you ever prayed and asked God for wisdom? The scripture tells us that God, what I just said, that he give it liberally to those who ask. See, that's why they tell us that, you know, sometimes we don't know what to pray for, because we could be praying for all kind of things. But if we learn to pray for something like wisdom and patience and joy, you know, everything else that come in, you're going to have the ingredients to be able to handle it. You want wisdom, you have to ask God, and he will give liberally. He will not withhold wisdom from you. And the Bible always tells us we have not because we ask not. The wisdom of God that we as Christians need, it has three distinct characteristics. One, it is practical. This wisdom is not isolated from suffering or trials, nor tribulations or temptation, but this wisdom is the tool by which we overcome those circumstances. Come on, I'm going to read that again. See, the wisdom of God is practical. This wisdom is not isolated from suffering, like the title of the program tonight. Christians is not exempt from trials and tribulation, and neither is wisdom. This wisdom don't keep you from trials and tribulation. This wisdom gives you the tools to overcome the trials and tribulations and temptations. Two, the wisdom of God is divine. God's wisdom goes beyond common sense. Common sense does not lead us to choose joy in the middle of a trial, but wisdom does. You know, when you're in a trial or you see some lady, you say, I can't believe that lady is that strong. See, she's dealing with wisdom. And no matter what is going on in her life, and to you is tragic, and it is a tragic situation. You know how sometimes people come on the TV and their little child had just got shot, and they come on the TV and they say, we just hope this wouldn't happen to the next person's child, you know, and then some people you see, you know, they handle it different. And I'm not trying to tell you how you should handle it, but you need just some wisdom, because it's going to help you to make the right decisions. You see, and you got to know this wisdom begins with the respect of God. It leads our living in a direction that God wants us to be in. And the result is the ability for us to know the right way than the wrong way. And third, this wisdom is Christ-like. You know, the more I read the Bible, the more I see the Word of God telling us that God's goal for our life is to help us to transform into the likeness of His Son. And He says likeness, not we could be exactly, but the likeness, whatever His Son represents. That's what our goal is. And you see, that's what it says, you know, the wisdom of God is to help us to be Christ-like. The Bible identifies Christ as the wisdom of God. In asking God, we must line our requests up with the will of God. You know, some people pray to God for things that they don't need, that don't even line up with His will. And He ain't going to give you that. I done heard people pray that the lady down the street died so, you know, this other person could be with her husband. God ain't fooling with that. When you pray, you got to pray the will of God. You see, in the term, a double-minded person is a person with two minds or two souls. And it's interesting that the word double-minded only appears in the book of James. Because you see, James describes a double-minded person as waves of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. God and the things of this world are much opposite in nature that it is impossible to either love one and completely hate the other. Completely love one and hate the other, but most of the time they double-minded. I like a little bit of this and I like a little bit of that. But we got to watch out by being double-minded. We are told that we are in the world, but not of this world. Let us remember tonight, y'all, that God is a jealous God, and will not accept a service that is divided with Satan, people, places, or things. And as I close tonight, I just want to tell you, make a suggestion. I'm going to read that again. God is a jealous God and will not accept a service that is divided with Satan, people, places, or things. So my statement to you tonight is, as I close, I'm asking that each and every one of us choose this day whom we will serve. James has let us know that we will have trials and temptations in our lives. If we apply the word of God in time of trouble, we will have success. James said we should take our trials and temptations with joy, realizing that God is in control. He's asking us to use patience in dealing with all situations. See, that's the other thing. With some things, we use patience, and some things, we go to God, and some we don't. But the Bible tells us to be prayerful in all things through prayer and supplication. Make all of your requests known to God. Use patience in dealing with all situations of our lives. That wisdom, and know that wisdom is necessary, and we can only receive it if we ask God. Everything that we do must be done in faith, and wavering cause us to be double-minded. We can't receive anything from God in that state. Just because we love the Lord, we will still have trials and tribulations, adversities, setbacks, knockdown, not enough money sometimes. Yes, Christians have all of that. But now, since we are his and we his child, and he has given us authority over a lot of things, then we know. And if you look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and it say, trust in the Lord with your whole heart and stop leaning to your own understanding. If you would just, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Let God lead you, and please, you learn how to follow. And that's the lesson for tonight. I pray that it was something that someone can be encouraged with. Yes, we are Christians, but we live in this world, and this world don't love nobody. And it's going to get worse before it get better. So when we realize that, you know, God allows testing and stuff for what the word told us, that it's for the matures. The more you know, the more you can glow, and the more you glow, the more you could take. You need to be strong in the word of God, because everything else is sinking sand. You got to learn how to hold on to God's unchanging hands. And at this time, as always, I'm going to, if anybody would like to make a comment, anybody would like to do a prayer, words of encouragement, all you have to do is press the one button on your phone, and I can open your mic. I just want you guys to know that this is our Bible study. Yes, God has allowed me to be the host for the night. Some of you guys have been calling in, and by the way, February the 13th, which was the other day, February the 13th, made one solid year. So we have been together, some of us, for a whole solid year. And I just want to say thank God. And I say praise his holy name. You know, some of y'all call back night after night. Some of you, I'm familiar with your numbers, and some of you, I don't know. But I just want to tell you that I'm real grateful and thankful to all of you. And I pray that God deliver whatever you may be asking him for. Some of the things we learn tonight, that if we want wisdom, we have to pray and ask God. Some things we learn, that happy and joy is not the same thing. Tonight we learn a little bit about James. And last week I asked, and I'm going to ask this again, if it's any particular subject, a topic, a scripture, any book in the Bible that you want to be discussed for next week's lesson, if you press the one button, we'll be able to use, we could explore that next week. And if there's any questions that you may have or you may want to ask, even if it had nothing to do with the lesson, if you press your one button, we will explore and try to get the answer. And if we won't, we'll have it for you next week. So this is our Bible study. Each and every one of you that calls in week after week, we are all a part of it. You know, they say there's one body of Christ and there's many members. You know, I'm a member, you are a member. And, you know, there couldn't be no station and no words of wisdom if there were no you, you know. And I'm just saying, you know, I pray that it get to the place where we could just, you know, talk to one another and explore the word of God like that. And evidently, I guess you guys don't mind listening to me, and I'd be so careful to figure out if you guys want to talk or you have something to say or you need a different subject, because I don't know if what I'm doing could be done different without hearing from you. I don't know if it should be different, because I'm on this end, you know, and you guys are on that end. So if you have anything that you would like to hear or anything you would like to say, as always, you're welcome. If you want to add to the lesson, you're welcome, because I tell you all the time, I don't know everything. And I guess everybody's okay. So it's now 9:23. We have 7 minutes left before the 9:30 hour, because I try to always keep it within 1 hour. If someone would like to pray at this time and they press the one button, they may do so. If they want to give words of encouragement, if they want to even request a song, you know, or anything like that. But I thank you guys. And since no one want to have anything to say, what I'm going to do at this time is I'm going to pray. And once I pray so that everybody could be in a benediction, after that I will go ahead and play music, because I have a lot of guests that stays on for the music. And I'll go ahead and play the songs until they decide to hang up. But before I say the prayer, I just want you guys to know that this world is really outrageous. You know, people, the Bible teaches about turning man over to a reprobate mind. And what that means is people are doing what they want to do, and God see they want to do what they want to do. And not that there's no hope for them, but he said, okay, you know, he going to give you the mind to do what you want to do. And that's like holding back his spirit, because, you know, you're going to do it your way. You're going to have your way. You're going to do it your way. And that's one thing you wouldn't want God to turn you over to, a reprobate mind. But when you look at the things of the world and the way that the world is doing, you know, it's like abomination. You know, some people think abomination only deals with people with sexual preference. Abomination is sin. You know, we could point abomination to one thing, but it's not one thing. It's many things. It's, you know, preachers getting on the TV and exposing their lies and things that's not right. And they got a new story coming on with the preacher's daughter, and, you know, they pulling their clothes up and letting their body be seen. And, you know, abomination, you know, comes in all kind of shapes, forms, colors, and size. But we have to hold on to God's unchanging hand, especially in times like this. You know, the records say in times like this, we need a Savior. And we have to grip the solid rock, because Satan is here to take you out. And you better be ready. You have to learn to be ready, willing, and able to withstand the fiery darts that he's going to display on you. Remember, you're going to have trials, and you're going to have tribulations, and you're going to have temptation, and you're going to be tested. But God's going to bring you through because it's your child. Learn who you are in Christ Jesus. And the only way to know who you are, you should know who your maker is. And here I go with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, precious God, I thank you for tonight, dear God. I thank you for allowing me one more time to be with the brothers and the sisters in Christ coming through the airways. Lord, I thank you for each and every one of them that may be listening by phone, and someone may be listening on Facebook, and others might be on the internet listening to the program and coming into the studio. I thank God for each and every one of you. I thank God, God, please help them in all of their needs, whether it's finance, whether it's health, whether it's job, dear God, whether it's children, whether it's relationship, whether it's marriages. Help them all, dear God, because they're faithful. They show up every Wednesday. And you ask that we be committed, and they are committed with this, dear God. Lord, I thank you for each and every one of them. I thank you for your son, and I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for the time you allow us to have together, Lord, and you say we'll never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ if we learn your word, if we lean on your word, and we begin to depend on your word, that our days will be made and full of success, that our way will be made straight, and we will be established. And we could be in this world, but we're going to be separated and set apart because you're sanctifying us daily with your word. Dear Heavenly Father, I say thank you. Praise be to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. And right now, it is 9:28. No lights have been lit up. No request has been made. No one wants their mics to be open. So at this time, I'll just start playing some music. And I will still be in the studio, and I can still see. So if someone have a change of heart and they now want to speak, you know, you still have time. Because I end this program at an hour, but I really have 2 hours. I just decide not to do that. So the time is always there. So when, you know, the music start playing and someone have a change of heart and maybe want to say something, if you press the one button, I will see it in the studio. And I will open the mic to let you talk. So I pray that everyone was edified. I pray that Satan was horrified. And I pray that God was glorified with this lesson and with your ears and with your heart. This song is Mary, Mary, telling us to get up and let's get busy. And that's Mary, Mary saying, get up. You know, 24 hours is gone. Let's do it a little different. And we always say we're going to do something better. Let us try a little harder. Right now I have a person that has pressed the one button and would like to make a comment. Tamika, I think that's your number, 281-965. Your line is open and you can speak at this time.
Okay, I wanted to tell everybody good night and to tell you thank you for the lesson again. I wasn't going to say anything, but I hope all is well on your end, T-Dying, because you sound a little different. So I'm asking everybody to uplift you in prayer on this night as we do all the other nights that we tune in every week. So that was it. And just to say that I love you and I love the people on the line and tell my cousins that I love them and hello.
Thank you so much, Tamika, and I really did need that. You know, I for some reason I was tired today, and it was a struggle for me to bring the lesson forward tonight. But you know, I thank God that I was still in my place, and you have discernment and you recognize it, and maybe some of the other callers did as well. But God was faithful, and I made it through the program, and I pray that it helped someone. But it was a little trying for me tonight for some reason. But I thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
For those words of encouragement. I needed that. You know, because we all get tired sometimes. And I know I love the Lord, but, I have trials, tribulations, and we all do. You know, everybody do. And, but once I got through with the lesson, I start feeling, you know, so much better. And I'm fine. Just was a little tired, that's all. But I thank you for your concern.
You're welcome.
If anybody else would like to say something, you could press the one button at this time. And if not, I'm going to put some more music on. And even while the song is playing, if you have a change of heart and you would like to say something, all you have to do is press the one button, and I'll let you in. And this is Vicky whining, saying how she got over.
You know, back in the day when we used to have testimony service, my mama would stand up on her feet and she'd throw her head back and sing songs like this. She said,
I'm in the world.
And that's our program for the night. I pray that God be with you until we meet again. And I just would like to say amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Good night.